Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. It's always a blessing to have you tune in, and my prayer is that you will be blessed as we share this time in the Spirit of the Lord and just spend time in God's Word. And I would like to talk about that subject, which I've spoken about recently before, and that is, what does it mean that we're made in God's image? Genesis 1:26 and 27 said, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And we're godlike, but we are not divine. We will never achieve the perfection, the status that God has. And so I want to take a little bit of time on this broadcast to talk about, what does it mean, really, that we're in God's image? Well, what's the capacity for a human being? We have a moral-making decision ability. We can have dominion over lower creation. We're to rule and reign, isn't that right? And either for good or bad, we have a definite and great effect on the environment and the rest of the world, animals, plants, species. We have social ability. We can communicate. We can write. We can speak. We have emotions. We have intellect and reason. We can learn. Technology has so advanced in recent decades and is continuing to, as the Word says. And we also live forever. We have an immortal spirit. And like God, we have the ability to create, not in the dimension He does, but those creative capacities are part of what God is like. Now, let's talk about God at first, and let's talk about His attributes. He has certain qualities or attributes that belong to Him alone, and we can call these qualities unshared attributes. And you may be familiar with this, that God is omnipresent. What does that mean? That means He's everywhere at once, all at the same time. He's omniscient. That means He's all-knowing. He knows everything, past, present, and future. He's beyond time and eternity. He's omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. And also, God is immutable. That means He does not change. We, beloved, need to change. We need to become more like Him. But He never changes. He is the same, as the Scriptures say, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, the living Word of God, the same, yes, yesterday, today, and forever. He's also eternal, without a beginning or ending. And He's sovereign. He rules over everyone and everything. And the amazing thing is that because He is such a sovereign God, He holds the universe together by the word of His power. It's His long-suffering, His love and His kindness is amazing that He has tolerated wickedness and evil with the patience that He has and the long-suffering, because He's not willing that any should perish. There is a way out for whomsoever will, to call on the name of the Lord to be saved, to trust Him for his salvation, and receive Jesus, who is the supreme penalty for our sin. He took our place. And God is not an evil God. He's a good God. He sends no one to hell. It is a choice that every man or woman makes on their own. They reject God. They don't want God. And if that's the case, then God honors their free will and sends them to that place which He created for the demons and for Satan. So he has certain unshared attributes, but there are ways that we are somewhat like God, and so we can call those shared attributes. That means that we bear certain aspects or qualities that God has in a limited form. Remember, Peter said we are partakers of the divine nature. So what are some of those ways? Well, in holiness, God is absolutely separate from any evil, and we mirror God when we hate sin and love holiness by repenting of our sin and fighting against sin in the world. Holiness really means separated to God in relation to us. Holiness is a quality that God has because he is totally pure and free of every evil. He does not sin nor tempt anyone to sin. And then, of course, a quality that will come to mind is love. Isn't that right? He alone is perfectly good and loving, and he is alone is the source of all good and love. And every good and every perfect gift comes down from him, from the Father of lights, with whom there's neither variableness nor shadow of turning. So we mirror God when we love God and others. That's a very major attribute, that agape love. And then God is truth. Isn't that right? Thy word, O Lord, is truth. God is the source of all truth. We mirror God when we believe biblical truth over the lies of the world, and we speak truthfully as an act of worship. And that's not, of course, what human nature says or does, but we have a new nature. When we're saved, we have divine righteousness imputed to us, and we are born again. Our spirit becomes alive. And so we also share this aspect of the Godhead, righteousness. And again, that's his righteousness, not ours. God does not, think about this, he doesn't conform to a standard of right and wrong. He doesn't, because right and wrong flow out of his very character, out of who he is, out of his essence. He determines right and wrong by his very nature. And so we mirror God when we fight sin and oppression and injustice and evil while pursuing what is right and just. So righteousness just flows out of who he is. All that he does is in a spirit of love and goodness. And then another attribute is mercy. Aren't you glad he doesn't give people what they deserve? He does not give us what we deserve, because he is loving and a gracious God. Hallelujah. We mirror him when we forgive those who sin against us and do good to those who do evil to us in an effort to bring them to repentance. So, beloved, we need to learn to walk in mercy and to simply forgive from our heart those who do us wrong. We will be misunderstood, we'll be persecuted, we'll be unappreciated, but we need to mirror our Heavenly Father. Another aspect is in beauty. God is beautiful, isn't he? And the works of his hands reflect his beauty. His creation reflects his beauty. Even this fallen world, in the fallen state it is so extraordinary, beautiful. The sunset, the flowers, some of the unspoiled regions that we haven't torn up. It's beautiful, his physical creation. And so we mirror God when we create and enjoy beauty in a holy way, such as stewarding God's creation. Remember, one of the first things, the tasks that God gave Adam and Eve was to husband the garden, to tend the garden, and to make it even more beautiful. So we share that quality of the Lord. So we are continually blessed by being God's image bearers and enjoying the sharing in a limited degree, of his attributes. Now, let's take a little bit of time. We may not have time to get through it on this broadcast, but what are some common errors regarding the image of God? And I'd like to share three. There's three broad categories of errors, if you will. And one is not maintaining the rightful place of humanity in God's created order. In the very first two books of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, it reveals that mankind was made under God in and over the rest of creation. And of course, the secular humanists would want to push us too high where we're like God, and some demean mankind and make us low. Well, we're, you know, we're just like a higher form of animal. But beloved, the word says we're image bearers of God, beneath God, but above the lower forms of creation. Psalm 8 says we're crowned with glory and honor. And you know, in today's world, the superhero is celebrated. I mean, there's in the media and in films and things like that, even superhuman attributes are attributed to human beings, and they're almost godlike, and that becomes a form of idol worship, you know, to be, oh, I wish I could be like them. You know, the original model was Superman, but that mentality is still around today. And also another category of error is an attempt to define the essence of humanity by simply reducing down to one aspect of human existence. Now we're basically worthless. You know, we're, man is either too high or too low. We just can't accept the median, which Scripture illustrates. And those are some thinkers believe in philosophy, psychology, that man is really just a body. There's no soul. There's nothing spiritual about us. We're just a physical body. But beloved, we are more than this. Others say that what makes us human is that we have a soul, which is consists of mind, will, and emotions. Others would say that we're essentially the product of our environment and not the product of the image and likeness of God. And so what, if you follow that kind of thinking out, that means you're really a victim of culture, and that robs us of dignity. You know, it's other people's fault. It's not mine. You know, I'm just the result of all the things that have happened to me. But beloved, man created the environment, so we're not a victim. There's just as there's been evil perpetrated, man has the ability to change it. Some would say that we're just a spirit, the immaterial part of our being, like the Buddhists or Hinduists. That's error. You know, in yoga, there's an attempt to get separated from the soul, from emotions, from will and desire. There's another group that would say, well, it's just our emotions. The essence of humanity is that you can get angry and you can cry and you can be passionate and feel deeply. And in fact, some Christians, there's sort of a mentality of we kind of spiritualize it. Let's, you know, get raptured out of all of this, get out of the world. But why did Jesus become flesh? Because he was the express image of God. This is our Father's world. We cannot bring the kingdom, but Jesus is coming, and he's going to establish his perfect millennial kingdom on this physical earth, and the earth will be as it as he created it to be. So, beloved, it's a balance. It's not what all these different philosophies are saying and philosophers, but it's what the Word of God says. And we're going to get into that more tomorrow. I invite you to join me. The announcer will give you our contact information. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.